This is the Citizen of Oven Podcast, my monthly report for April 2024. I'm Hal Hammonds, Citizen of Heaven. I'm here with a behind-the-scenes look at what's going on in my life and the life of this podcast. As you can tell already, we're changing course a bit. It struck me that I was putting out as much content in the weekly reports as I was in the actual podcast, and that was a bad sign. I'm adapting to a monthly report, scheduled to go up the last Friday of every month. If you have ideas for what to include here other than my reading list and more behind-the-scenes info about the podcast, please feel free to share. Before I start the show, let me encourage you to subscribe to the podcast if you have not done so. If you have and it's been a blessing to you, please consider sharing it and giving it a good review. Let's get started. Books about wolves make me think of my brother Paul, who was obsessed with wolves when we were growing up. Last year, I read White Fang and Call of the Wild, a two-book volume that talks about, respectively, a wolf turning into a dog and a dog turning into a wolf. American Wolf is nonfiction, though. It's a story of wolves in Yellowstone National Park. And it's worth noting right up top that it is called American Wolf. It is not called American Elk Hunter or American Cattle Rancher. It is written with the undisclosed agenda of promoting the cause of wolves and those who support the cause of wolves. And that's fine. I'm not taking a position one way or the other as far as that goes. But much of the book centers on the conflict that exists between the different interests. And one particular quote grabbed my attention. I forget exactly which side of the argument he was on, but I think it relates no matter where you are in the discussion. He was discussing the tendency of people on both sides to try to talk their way into some kind of reconciliation, some kind of meeting of the minds. And he said, what we normally mean by education is, I want someone else to know what I know so they will have my values. I found that to be a very thought-provoking kind of comment. I never really thought about it that way before. But I think there's a lot of truth to that. Those of us who are committed to our convictions, and that certainly includes me, like to believe that areas of disagreement between us and people who, under different circumstances, we would break bread with, that these differences are simply a matter of them not listening carefully enough to what we have to say. And so, therefore, of course, we will say what we want to say. And if it doesn't work the first time, we'll say it again and maybe a little louder, and maybe a little bit more energetically. At some point, maybe law enforcement might be called in. You know, we'll do whatever we have to do to get our point across because we're thinking that we are on the side of the angels here. And if we can educate our opponents properly, then they'll come over to our side. And that is a profoundly flawed vision of the world and of humanity and of various specific causes, including the cause of wolves in Yellowstone, that we might discuss, then we might have some differences of opinion on. The bottom line is, people in different camps, as it were, look at the world in fundamentally different ways. Such is the case with, for instance, wolf advocates and cattle ranchers. It's not that the wolf advocates have anything against cattle ranchers necessarily, but they're in it for the wolves, and they will promote the cause of the wolves and do whatever they need to do to move the ball forward in their pursuit of wolf things, whatever that might be. And the same thing goes for the cattle ranchers. But each one realizes that ultimately, if things go the way that they ordinarily would go, these two visions of the world will come in conflict with one another. They simply do not want the same world. They do not want the same set of circumstances. Once upon a time in the United States of America, I think it could be reasonably assumed that everyone or virtually everyone in the United States had the same kind of objective. They wanted the same world to live in. They wanted freedom and they wanted peace and they wanted government that more or less stayed out of their way and just the whole truth, justice in the American way, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness kind of cliches. That's what we wanted. That's what we all wanted. And it seems like in the current climate, that's not necessarily the case anymore. It's not that we have different roads to get to a common objective. We have different objectives. And that builds into the system a sense of futility and a sense of hostility. Take the wolves and ranchers, for instance. The wolf people know that if they get their way, there's going to be a problem with the cattle ranchers. Cattle ranchers don't like wolves. If the wolves get into their pens, they will shoot the wolves. The same thing goes the other way around. The cattle ranchers, if they could have some kind of assurance that the wolves would stay in the national park, the wolves can do whatever they want to do, but they know they won't do that. And therefore, the conflict will exist and perpetuate itself. It may not manifest itself physically and violently today or tomorrow or next week, but it is inevitable that that would be the case. And in these kind of situations, our quest for peace, our quest for harmony is fatally flawed. Now, from a political standpoint, from an ecological standpoint or whatever, we're just going to have to settle that at the ballot box probably, or the picket line, or whatever method you may choose to decide who's going to win today or next year or next decade between the cattle ranchers and the wolves. And I don't care to get into that discussion. But I do want to turn the discussion a little bit toward spiritual things and try to express my concern that the same kind of thing is going on today with regard to spiritual issues, with regard to brethren in Christ who claim to be pointing in the right direction, but in reality, they are not. There are certain issues, there are certain goals and objectives that simply are not compatible. I'll illustrate for you. Let's say I am on my back porch and there is a big pile of rope in front of me. And I'm there with my brother. We'll call him Brother X. And I look down at this pile of rope and I see an end of the rope. And the end is labeled purity. And I say, hey, I'm all about the purity. I want some of that. I want as much purity as I can get. So I grab the purity rope and I start pulling the rope in and wrapping it around my arm. I'm going to get a nice big coil of purity because I'm into purity. That's my thing. And Brother X, of course, is not opposed to purity, but he has other interests. And he looks down at the same pile of rope and he sees another cut end of rope. And that end is labeled inclusivity. And he says, hey, I love me some inclusivity. I'm going to grab that. And of course, I love being inclusive. I love the idea of inclusivity. So I encourage him to do that. And he starts coiling up his inclusivity rope. And I gather my rope and he gathers his rope. And eventually, we come to realize that we are pulling on two ends of the same rope. It's not that you can't pursue one without pursuing the other, but eventually you're going to have to make a choice. And in that moment, you have to decide what team you're on. Are you with the wolves? Or are you with the cattle ranchers? Are you on team purity or are you on team inclusivity? And I make no bones about my position on this. I am team purity all the way. I am absolutely in favor of doing God's things in God's way all the time, or at least trying to. That creates a problem with regard to the pursuit of inclusivity. Because inclusive people want to make the pie bigger. They want to include more and more people. And ultimately, there's going to be a conflict with regard to whether we are going to make the church bigger or make the church purer. And in that moment, we get to decide what our true value system is. And again, let me reiterate, I'm not suggesting that team purity is not interested in being inclusive, and I'm not suggesting that team inclusivity is not interested in being pure. Not the point at all. I'm sure that our interests coincide to a very great degree. But ultimately, if we have to choose between one and the other, and we will have to choose, which one is it going to be? I will continue to make the case for purity. I love what James says in James 3, verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. We're all in favor of peace. Everybody wants to have peace. Everybody wants to get along. Everybody wants to cooperate with people with whom we may differ on tangential points here or there. Nobody's suggesting, I don't think anybody is suggesting anyway, that we all have to absolutely agree with absolutely everything all the time. But at some point, we are going to have to decide whether we are or are not going to respect the rules of fellowship that are given to us in the scriptures. And I am not permitted to welcome somebody into spiritual fellowship that Jesus has excluded. Now, the person on the other side says, well, you're also not allowed to exclude someone who Jesus has included. And I understand that. That's true. And that's the great thing about local leadership. That's the great thing about individual congregations. The church at Lakewoods Drive is going to do the best they can doing that kind of thing. And the church across town is going to do the same thing in their best way. And God will be the judge of us all. But let's not kid ourselves into thinking that the one issue doesn't have to do with the other. And let's not kid ourselves thinking that we won't have to make a choice. Is your priority to widen the gate to the kingdom of Jesus so that more people can get in, i.e. the inclusivity argument? Or is it your goal to monitor the gate so that souls who truly are connected to Jesus, and only those souls, will be received into fellowship? Needless to say, that is a tricky thing to monitor. No question about that. But Jesus says over and over again that the way is, in fact, narrow. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, as he goes on to say it later in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 21. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6, verse 46. On and on we can go. Jesus makes it very clear that purity is the objective. No one can come into the presence of God in a state of sin. And us pretending otherwise, or just kind of pleading ignorance, washing our hands and saying, hey, I don't know one way or the other, we're just going to let Jesus sort everything out, that's laziness on our part. We have been given custody of fellowship, at least on this earth. And so therefore, it's incumbent upon us to be faithful in that fellowship. I encourage you to read the Bible, to read what Jesus has to say about fellowship, and to apply his principles and pursue purity in your life, in your local fellowship, and in all things. And realize that it will come at a cost. And be willing to pay that cost. Because ultimately, being in fellowship with Jesus is the only thing that matters. Anyway, those are my thoughts on American Wolf by Nate Blakeslee. I'll continue to keep you updated on the things that I've been reading. And certainly, I will encourage you to tune in on Tuesday when the Honey episode of the podcast drops. I'm very much looking forward to that. Without spoiling the ending for you too much, Samson and his issues are going to play a prominent role. So we'll look forward to seeing you on Tuesday. Until then, God bless.
This has been the monthly report for April 2024. Please remember to come back every Tuesday for a new episode of the Citizen of Heaven podcast. Check out my YouTube channel for more content. A link to this weekend's sermon is in the show notes, as are credits for our intro and outro music. Until next time, be strong and courageous, fight the good fight of faith, and do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Hal Hammons, the Citizen of Heaven, signing off. Thank you for listening to the Citizen of Heaven podcast. Please rate, review, and share so others can access this content. I encourage you also to join the Heaven Citizens Facebook group. There you will find links to related materials, conversation starters, poll questions, and the occasional special announcement. Also, check out the Hal Hammonds channel on YouTube for even more content. Until next time, be strong and courageous, fight the good fight of faith, and do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Hal Hammonds, Citizen of Heaven, signing off.